Hear God's word together. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world. And the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we have read this portion of your word, we ask now that your Holy Spirit would give us wisdom and guidance, that we might understand how this ancient text speaks to our modern lives. For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. During the summer between 8th and 9th grade, Douglas O'Donnell was invited to a pool party by an older girl. An older girl who was extremely pretty. An older girl who was extremely pretty and had a lot of pretty friends who were also going to be at that pool party. But her parents didn't care if they invited boys, and so they did. But Doug's parents did care. "No pool party for you," his mother said. "You can't go. We don't want you at some pool party with older girls," she paused, "in bikinis." That was the new rule, no older girls in bikinis, not for Doug at least. Can't you hear Doug complaining? Tommy and Billy said that they were going. "I don't care if Tom, Dick, and Billy are going, you're not going," his mother said. "If they jumped off a cliff, would you?" "No. But if they jumped in a pool," he mumbled under his breath. Moments later, Doug's mom called the other boys' moms, and it turns out that both of the other moms were Catholic as well. No boys going to any pool parties with bikini-clad girls. They were all staying home right where they belonged. But Doug just had to go. And so he came up with a plan. The pool party started at 2 o'clock. At 2:05, he came into his mother, and with that sort of "I'm so bored, I'm going to die" look on his face, asked if he could ride his bike over to Billy's house. His mom didn't think through this very well, and she quickly gave him permission, said, "Well, I don't see any harm in that. Go ahead, have fun." And Doug rode his bike straight from his house directly to that pool party. And as he watched some girls jumping in off the diving board, he set his bike up against the fence. But what he failed to realize was his friend Billy lived right across the street. And Billy's mom gazed through the kitchen window and then said, "Isn't that Doug?" She just got off the phone with Doug's mother a few minutes ago. "Isn't that Doug?" she said for a second time. Billy was in the living room playing video games. No response. A third time, she said, "Isn't that Doug?" You could hear the cock crowing in the distance. Billy came out and looked, said, "Well, yes, that is Doug." And Billy's mom immediately called Doug's mom on the telephone, told her what was going on, and within a split second, here comes Doug's red-faced mother pulling into the driveway in a two-toned station wagon, grabbing her boy before those girls got a chance to see his buff 100-pound pale frame. He was in the car with the bike loaded in the back and the swimming trunks on the back seat all the way home. I begin with this amusing anecdote to make a simple but very serious point. Who we listen to matters. Doug should have listened to his mother rather than the invitation of a teenage girl. And by the way, if we happen to have any young men in our congregation this morning, when you have a choice between the bikini girl and mom's voice, always take mom's. It's always the right way to go. But because he failed to listen to the right voice, he suffered. 2 weeks with no television and no time with friends. In today's scripture reading, the Apostle John calls the church to listen as well. He calls on Christians to discern the various voices they hear by testing the spirits. Not every claim of spiritual truth is valid. There are true prophets and honorable pastors who proclaim the Word of God accurately and faithfully, certainly no doubt about that. But there are also many false prophets and religious frauds who manipulate God's Word to please their own interests. But here's the question, as Pastor Vaughn mentioned to the children, how do you know the difference? How do you know the difference between true faith and spiritual fraud? We need to begin by asking what John means here when he uses the word spirits. This term is often interpreted as demons, but this betrays the immediate context of the passage. Remember that John was writing to a church community that was struggling with a group of heretics who had left the church and now were stirring up dissensions among the members who were still left at the church. His primary reason, even for writing this letter, was to address the problem of professing Christians who claim to have the authority of the Holy Spirit, but who speak and act in ways that are not pleasing to God. He was therefore trying to protect the church from these charlatans who were seeking to destroy it. Therefore, John compels the church to employ two tests to discern those who claim to teach spiritual truth. Here are the two tests. The first one is this: what people say about Jesus. And the second one is like it: what the world says about those people, or how the world responds to the teaching. Let's take a closer look at these six verses, two tests of genuine spirituality. Having issued the warning to test the spirits in verse 1, John goes on to provide the first test in verses 2 and 3. Look at it with me when he says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming into the world now and is already with us." It's not a difficult test, is it? It's pretty simple. Just listen to what someone says about Jesus, and the truth will always come to light. Or ask someone, actually actively test the spirit by asking them, "What do you believe about Jesus?" And he gives the test here of how they respond to who Jesus is and what he has done. That is, if they affirm that Jesus is both God and man, that he came in the flesh, the doctrine of the incarnation. I know that that's a big word, but do you remember even a few weeks ago when we were in chapter 2, we learned that the incarnation is crucial to the Christian faith. The fact that God became a man and dwelt among us in the person of Jesus Christ. Why is this so important? Well, if Jesus wasn't God, he couldn't have lived a perfect life. And if he didn't live a perfect life that was apart from sin, then his death on the cross cannot atone for our sins. It cannot appease the wrath of God, as we just sang about, in Christ alone. Think about it this way. If Jesus didn't live a sinless life, he was like every other human being, just like us. Now, I might be willing to die for some of you, and not all of you, but maybe a few of you along the way. But here's the thing. If I died for you, you might say, well, that was really nice of Pastor Jason. He's a great pastor, willing to die for me. And you might feel good about that, but the reality is that I can't do much for you. You're still dead in your trespasses and sins because I am a sinner too. But Jesus, if he is God, if he did live a sinless life, then all the punishment that we deserve, God puts on him because he is sinless. Likewise, Jesus needs to be fully human, fully divine and fully human. Because if Jesus wasn't fully human, then he cannot and would not be our representative before God. And again, the atonement that he made on the cross could not happen if he wasn't fully human. That's why the doctrines of the deity and humanity of Christ are absolutely essential for the Christian faith. And that's why John puts this as a test of genuine spirituality. And so what they say about Jesus. I shared this story with you a long time ago, but it bears repeating today. Many of us sitting here this morning remember back to March of 2004 when a young girl named Brianna Maitland, right here from our community in Franklin, vanished, went missing. She got out of work in Montgomery. Her car was found alongside the road. And to this day, she's never been found. It's still an ongoing missing persons case. In the wake of Brianna's disappearing, I became good friends with her parents, Bruce and Kelly. They were even members at the East Franklin Church. And so I was a part of those search parties that would go out and walked in the woods and did a number of other things looking for Brianna. But one of the interesting things about missing persons cases that I didn't realize then, but I certainly know now, is that whenever someone goes missing, in every single case in America, there are literally hundreds of so-called psychics and mediums that begin contacting the family, all claiming to have supernatural knowledge of the person's whereabouts. Can you imagine that? Your teenage daughter goes missing. You have no idea where she is or what happened to her. The search is on, and now you're getting calls and emails from people who claim to have supernatural knowledge of where she is. Do you know how tempting that is? When you're desperate, do you look for hope anywhere? Or a lot of people do. Thankfully, Bruce and Kelly had enough spiritual sense to delete almost all of these as they came in, and they didn't entertain it at all. But there were a few along the way of people who claimed to be Christians who had a supernatural vision or revelation from God that God revealed to them where Brianna was. And they were really confused by this. They didn't know if this was real or not. Was this legitimate? And if it is, what should we do about it? And so they came to me as their pastor and asked me what I thought. And I'll be honest with you, I was a 25-year-old pastor and had never dealt with anything like this before. I didn't know what to do with that. So I called my pastoral mentor and asked him, what about this? And I already knew that God does sometimes speak through visions and revelations. We certainly see that in the scriptures, and I believe that he can and does sometimes do this today. But how do you know? And he said, Jason, do you remember what 1 John 4:1-6 says? Test the spirits. That was his advice to me. And so I thought that it was worth following up with a handful of these claims. And what was interesting, over the next few weeks, I called a dozen or so of these so-called Christian psychics and started asking them questions about their doctrine, about their background. And what I found was is that very few of them wanted to have a conversation with a pastor. And so it was a lot of very short conversations, and I think they were found out like that, and boom, gone. There was one woman from a nearby town who I talked to at length. She had broad biblical knowledge, and I thought, she said all the right things, and it initially appeared that there might be some validity to her claim. But it was when I started asking her questions about what she believed about Jesus Christ, I noticed that she got very uncomfortable. She was good. She had a lot of biblical answers sort of ready to go. But when I asked her about who Jesus is, she got very quiet. And then all of a sudden she said, "Well, I can't talk anymore now. Can you call me back later?" And I thought, oh, isn't that interesting? She was unprepared for those questions. I don't think she believed in the deity of Jesus Christ, that he was actually God. And so I said, sure, I'll call you back later. And I did a few hours later. And you know what was fascinating? The phone line was disconnected. And I never heard from this woman again. So what was actually going on there? I don't know. Probably fraud at the end of the day. And so it was a testing of the spirits that determined the spiritual legitimacy of this case. I believe that she was just another false prophet peddling deceit and trickery. Friends, as in John's time, there are many false prophets and religious charlatans in our world today. There really are. They come in many forms, psychics and spiritual mediums, faith healers and cult leaders, pagan soothsayers and New Age gurus. And you can find them everywhere. They're all over Franklin County even today. They all claim to have spiritual power that can help people, but in the end, it always leads to confusion and broken expectations. At best, these are con artists looking to make a quick buck. At worst, they are agents of the Antichrist who are seeking to destroy people's lives. And I've watched it happen many times. And so, don't be deceived. Test their validity by listening carefully to what they say about Jesus. Anywhere you are in your life where you're seeking spiritual direction, whether that's right here at church on Sunday morning, whether that's watching something on television, listening to a podcast or a radio preacher, whether it's talking with a friend, whatever it is, test the spirits. Ask what they believe about Jesus, because who we listen to matters. John's second test moves beyond doctrine and talks about audiences, or how the world receives the spiritual instruction. This is a bit confusing, but look with me at verse 4. He begins by affirming the church. He says, "Little children," as he's done before, "you are from God and have overcome them." So he's speaking to the church and saying that you have overcome the heretics, these false prophets who have left our church and are trying to stir up trouble. He says, you've already overcome them. Why? Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. A wonderful verse affirming that he, that is Jesus, who is in them, is greater than the Antichrist who is in the world. And then he says, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. And so here's the other litmus test, right? So first we ask, what do they say or what do they believe about Jesus? But then the second one is, how does the world actually receive their message? And every time John uses the word or the term the world, he's using it in its negative sense, as in the broad world who generally rejects Jesus. And so the broader world out there who are not Christians, who are not believers, how do they receive the word from these false prophets? And if the world receives it, accepts it, and affirms it, then you can bet that the message isn't from God. And so it's sort of like Pastor Vaughn's real and fake money. You have to know what the real thing is before you can discern what's fake. And so again, if the world affirms the false prophet's message, it is most likely not from God. John's command to test the spirits is apt for our generation today because there are so many competing claims to spiritual truth. Cults, sects, new religious movements all around us. Furthermore, there are many false prophets who lead what I call quasi-Christian churches who manipulate God's word to suit their own desires. Even today, there are people all across the state of Vermont who are gathering in church buildings that look an awful lot like ours. But let me tell you, they are not preaching about Jesus Christ. Most of you have never heard of this before, but back in 1993, more than 2,000 delegates associated with the World Council of Churches gathered in Minneapolis for a conference to discuss what they called women's equality. Now, you know, women's equality is a very fair and actually something the church does need to talk about. It's good and helpful. But what they were actually doing, their agenda had nothing to do with it. Listen to this carefully. The title of this conference was called the Reimagining God Conference. Reimagining God. The speakers seemed set to destroy the traditional Christian faith by actually adopting ancient pagan beliefs and rejecting the deity and humanity of Christ and his atonement on the cross. Listen to this. Dolores Williams, one of the speakers, a professor at Union Theological Seminary in New York City, described the biblical account of the conception of Jesus Christ by saying, "The Holy Spirit mounted Mary." But even more appalling than this poor taste statement was the applause and laughter that was received from the capacity crowd. She went on to tell the group, and I quote, "I don't think we need a theory of atonement at all. Atonement has to do so much with death. I don't think we need folks hanging on crosses and blood dripping and all of that weird stuff. We just need to listen to the God within." This is the type of religion that is being peddled in so many corners of our world. Another speaker at that conference, Virginia Mollenkopf, claimed that the death of Jesus was the epitome of child abuse, claiming that God was an abusive parent because how could a parent allow their son to be treated in such a way as Jesus was? The Reimagining Conference trampled on the gospel of Jesus Christ and attempted to reconstruct the Christian faith without the offense of the cross. Now, let me just say this. If there is no cross, then there is no Christianity. Because if God has not loved us enough to not abuse his son, but to actually give him up for us. It's not an act of abuse. It's an act of love, an act of grace, that he would give up his precious son for his blood to be shed so that we can be forgiven for all of our sins and enjoy all the splendors of heaven for eternity. But so much of this teaching prevails in our world today. Beware of heretical lies like this. There are many wolves prancing around in sheep's clothing, and they are far more common than most people realize. They undermine the historic teachings of the Christian faith, they undercut the authority of the Bible, and they conform their beliefs and behaviors to the prevailing spirit of the age. And tragically, they've led some people away from the faith. And that's what John was concerned about here, that the church, followers of Jesus, would not be led astray by false teaching. Who we listen to matters. And so, whenever and wherever we hear spiritual teaching, may we always test the spirits to discern what is true. If it affirms the person and work of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures, if it affirms His deity and His humanity, then we can know that that teaching is from God, and it's true. But if it denies the deity and humanity of Christ, the cross, the historic doctrines of the Christian faith, and the world receives it with itching ears, then we can know that it's false. Who we listen to matters. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I pray for each one of us that you would give us wisdom and discernment. As we follow you, that we would indeed test the spirits. And not only in places and people that we hear on the television and in other places, but right here in church as well. For we remember in the book of Acts that the Bereans were of noble character, and they compared what the Apostle Paul and others had to say with the written word of God to see if it was true. Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to follow in their footsteps. And Lord, most of all, I pray that you would protect each one of us from heresy, from false teaching, from anything that would lead us away from you. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Normally, we'd be having communion this morning. I'm not sure what happened, if there was a miscommunication. But oh, it is set up in the back. Sorry, I missed it. I was still... Oh gosh, I keep forgetting that we're still in COVID. I'm looking for our table in front of us. Why am I doing that? So thank you, Julian. Well then, we will celebrate communion. If you haven't had a chance to gather the elements from the back, please feel free to do that now. And let us go ahead and stand together as we reaffirm our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by reciting together the Apostles' Creed. Even as we discuss heresy this morning, thank you very much. We reaffirm our faith by reciting the Apostles' Creed that highlights the core doctrines of the Christian faith. We join with churches throughout the ages and all around the world today in saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church,